Alrighty, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. While you're turning there, I want to give a very important introduction that might seem at face value unrelated to what the scripture we're going to read here shortly, but you know, when the founding fathers of our country, how many of y'all believe they had the wisdom of God in the way they laid out the checks and balances, the Constitution? Man, it is that document, when adhered to, makes a nation great because it honors God at every turn. Can I get a witness in the house? It honors the Lord. And that's what our nation was founded on the Judeo-Christian value and Judeo-Christian ethics. And we thank God for that. But the notion for the Constitution was based on, if you'll remember, we broke away from a tyrant England that wanted to tax the people without representing them. And thus commenced the Revolutionary War. And we broke away and we founded a nation feeling that there was manifest destiny. I don't want to give you a history lesson here, but the founding fathers believed that the people, the citizens of a country could, and these were their words, could reasonably govern themselves. They could reasonably govern themselves. How many of y'all believe that you can reasonably govern yourself? Yes. And if you still believe that, then you're probably going to end up being a Republican, because Republicans believe in smaller government. I believe in smaller government. Amen. I don't need a big brother breathing down the back of my neck telling me how to live my life. Can I get a witness in the house? Now, we have to keep that at the forefront of our minds in all the decisions that we make, church family, okay? Now, I'm going to say some things here. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to offend, but I want to speak the truth. And you guys have been praying that I preach boldly. Well, okay, then watch out. Be careful what you ask for, because I'm going to come out swinging. Not at you, but I'm going to come out swinging at the devil, and I'm going to start hitting some issues. And, you know, really concerns me when we live in a free country, supposed free country, when some governors begin to overstep their boundaries and begin to enact rules that they attempt to enforce with our police and our law enforcement that violate our personal rights, as you just mentioned, Brother Lyle. That they violate our rights. Listen, once again, I am capable of reasonably governing myself. I have a God, and I already have a mother. Don't apply. Amen? Honey, you don't know more about me, and I can govern my life reasonably well. Some orders have been had that we can't meet together in numbers of more than 10 people. Okay, I'm going to address that from my, since I have the pulpit, from my personal viewpoint. You know, and I'm going to tell you here, church family, that we've got to be careful with just blindly obeying those kind of orders. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, number one, in the Bible leaves room for civil disobedience. Yoo-hoo. What do you think got Peter and John arrested? And they were threatened not to speak in that name. And in Acts chapter 4, they said, it is better for us that we speak in the name of Jesus. They said, we cannot help but declare the things that we have seen and the things that we have heard. And so they stepped up to the plate and they said, we're not going to cow, we're not going to bow down. The three Hebrew children, they did not bow, they did not burn, they did not, what's the last one? Bend, bow, or? They did not bend, bow, or burn. How's that? And Daniel, the lion didn't eat them, the lions didn't eat them. And that was an act of civil disobedience. Listen, I'm not trying to stir up a militia here, baby. This is not Getting to the point is that we have to be very discerning with some of these orders because for a couple reasons. Number one, the very governors that are laying out these orders, national orders of mitigation, they themselves are not keeping. When Biden was projected winner as the 46th president of the United States, the governor of Illinois was seen without a mask, hobnobbing with large crowds celebrating. That to me speaks of hypocrisy. He doesn't believe his own jargon. He doesn't live it. So why is he letting it roll down to the citizens? Because he believes he's above the law. The same goes with the governor of California. When he said rules that there was not going to be any in-person schooling, guess where his kids are? They're in in-person schooling. So another reason, number two, is everybody okay with this kind of teaching?
Come on.
All right. Number two, that is bars are essential. Strip joints are essential. Pot dispensaries are essential, but churches aren't essential? Are you for real? Churches are not essential? Church family, don't you see what's happening here? We're at a culture, we're at a boiling point of two clashing kingdoms that are at war. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this age versus the kingdom of God. And, you know, we sing, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Well, are we standing up by showing up? You know, by showing up, we're making a stand, if you're able to in your health.
Amen.
This is the church of Jesus Christ. This is not my little business. This is not our own little business. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And who is one human being to try to declare that his church is non-essential? Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of... What? Yes, sir, there is. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." All right, and then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. All right, this all begins with a question that Jesus asked his disciples. "Who do men say that I am?" Well, they all took stabs, you know. The Jews believed in a reincarnation of sorts, a resurrection from the dead, from these men of old. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist come back from the dead. I think another gospel says it that way. Some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asks them, gets very personal in a hurry with them and his disciples. And he asks them, "But who do you say that I," notice I'm going to quote it the way it reads in the Hebrew, "who I, not the Son of Man, I Ben Adam say." Ben Adam, Hebrew. All right? What does that mean? I am the son of Adam. Who do men say that I, the son of Adam, am? How many of us know that Jesus did not go around fancying himself as the son of God? He always called himself the son of man. He always called himself a child of Adam. Okay? I want you to know that. Now, there were occasions where he said mouthfuls that just threw people for a spin and for a loop, Like, for example, when the Pharisees said, "We are children of Abraham." And then Jesus, this is in John chapter 8, Jesus tells them, "Before Abraham was, I am." Oh, no. When he said, "I am," they knew that that was the name, the holy name of God. I am who I am. Well, that was just a mind blower. But normally, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Adam. Very interesting. So this, excuse me, Peter answered, and Jesus commended his answer because this was not common knowledge about Jesus, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven," because flesh and blood did not know that about Jesus. Flesh and blood only knew that he was the Son of Adam, as Jesus often referred to himself. As he referred himself, okay? Notice in verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter. If you're taking notes, take this down. Peter in the Greek is Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, Petros, a small movable rock, a small movable rock. He's the original Rocky. I say that you are a small movable rock, and on this rock, Petra, P-E-T-R-A, I will build my church. Very, very important to note. Jesus was not saying that the church was built on Peter. That church would not have lasted beyond a few moments after this. Right? He said, "I will build my church on the Petra, not the Petros." A large immovable rock. On this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How many of y'all believe that Jesus spoke truth when he said the gates of hell will not prevail against this church? That includes political figures. Amen? Right? That includes human edicts. Nothing, you know, when persecution was brought against the church, and it was real, and it decimated Christians. The blood of the martyrs was only the seed of the church. It only served to grow the church. Persecution couldn't kill it. The Roman emperor couldn't kill it. Trajan, Diocletian couldn't kill it. Nero could not kill it. Come on, somebody. Hitler could not kill off the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer killed, who protested against Nazism, but he could not kill the church. Satan has tried to kill it for millennia. Church is still around. We people have tried to kill off the church. How many of y'all know the church is divine? Because we've taken stabs at it too. It wouldn't have come this far if it was not divine, if it was not a church built upon the rock of Jesus Christ. What is that particular rock? The rock is the understanding that Peter had from the Father that Jesus is the Christ. Upon that rock, upon that knowledge, is the church built. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. You know, when I normally baptize candidates, who have proclaimed Jesus, I have them repeat after me publicly. You know, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that good confession of faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus, right? Because it is upon that confession that the church is built. Now, let me say here, church family, we have to be spiritually minded about some of all that's going on. Let me tell you what the climate is on a larger scale. I think that, you know, this is, you know, we have to exercise wisdom because there is a real pandemic happening around us. We have to be wise about that. Try to wear our masks, try to socially distance. I get that. But at some point, church family, you know, I hear some pastors of larger churches, they're not going to reopen their doors till the year 2022. Because at what point do we take a stand with Jesus that his church is essential? But, you know, we live in a context of events. We live in a context of things trying to stifle us. Let's be careful. Let's be cautious. Let's exercise wisdom. And that's what prompted me to start wearing a mask. If it makes somebody feel more at ease that I'm wearing a mask, great. If they don't want to wear masks, great. Because we can reasonably govern ourselves. Right? Hello. Alrighty. Turn with me to 1 Peter, please. Chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who did what? Who called you out of the darkness and into what? His marvelous light. Okay, so I have us look at this verse because it uses the word called out. Now, the word church that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 16, that's a first mention of the word church, incidentally, is the Greek word ekklesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-S-I-A. Ekklesia. Which is a compound word. Ek means out of. Klesia is a derivative of kaleo, which means to call. To be called out of. To be called out of. To be called out of. What are we called out of according to 1 Peter 2:9? The darkness. And what are we called into? His marvelous light, right? And so, listen, I want us to look at church not as something that's been a part of our lives all the days of our lives. That's important. You know, I at times I have to remind my youngest daughter, because she can be just as stubborn as I can, that if her last name is Brazino, we are people of church. That we are people of church. I remember when she was in college, I would have to bribe her because I didn't want her getting out of the habit of going to church. And so sometimes I would bribe her. I said, you know, if you go to church, text me a photo of the bulletin that shows the date, the service time that you were there. I'll give you $25. So at the end of the month, I'd be sending her $100 or $125 because that was important to me that she kept up that habit. How many of y'all know that it is a habit? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, please. Church attendance is a habit. We're going to read one verse of scripture, very well-known verse. In fact, it's automatically underlined in my New King James Version. Verse 25, notice, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Does any other translation say, as is the habit of some? What is it? How does it say it, hon? As some are in the habit of doing, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's a habit. And if we do anything, scientists say if we do anything for 21 days, it becomes a habit. Well, it's important that we have the habit of going to church. Why? Because, you know, because I don't like to preach to an empty sanctuary. That's not what it says. What does the verse go on to say? But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, capital D, approaching. What day is that talking about? The end. The day of Jesus' second coming, right? Amen. So what does it say here about Jesus' second coming and attending church? We should be there all the more. Did you see that? Not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, but so much more gathering together, exhorting one another as you see the day of His coming approaching. Is that my scripture? Is that God's word, or is that Joe's doctrine? That's God's word. We need to exhort each other. We need to encourage each other. Amen. And I think by church attending church, when I see your smiling faces, that encourages me. We should encourage each other as all the more as we see the day of His second coming approaching. Now, we had, back in the summer, we had a series on the second coming. And if we discuss something in that series is that there is no other prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back. There are no prophecies left to be fulfilled. He can come back at any time. Now, do we want Him to find us skipping church, not prioritizing church? Or do we want Him to find us gathering with His people, encouraging each other as the days call for encouragement? You know, church family, in these, this has been a difficult year on many different levels, emotionally, physically, socially, and I would say spiritually for some as well. But shouldn't there be church to encourage each other during this time?
Amen. Yes. I think so.
You know, people congregate at the First Church of Walmart.
Yeah.
They pay their tithes and offerings there at the checkout. Nobody says anything. Nobody bats an eye. So in conclusion, church family, this is all I'm saying. Let's prioritize what Jesus prioritizes. And if for some of us that means taking it upon ourselves to reasonably govern ourselves, then that's what we will do. And if that means exercising some civil disobedience, then that's what we're going to do. But I don't want one man who has not showed the same discipline or fervor as he's calling out of the citizens of his state to show, to determine whether we should gather or not. Amen?
Amen.
That's all I got to say about that, as the prophet, Forrest Gump once said. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your blessing upon us, Lord. Lord, help us to digest this in our own lives and process it to see what areas it applies of our lives, Lord. Father, help us to prioritize going to church reasonably within reasonable parameters, Lord. Help us to love our neighbors, yes. Help us to be conscientious, Lord, of any health problems they might have, yes. But Lord, also help us not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And all the more now, God, as we see Your day approaching. In Jesus we pray. Amen.